Well, this morning I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about his character, his fruits, his gifts, his manifestations, the effects of his presence. The Holy Spirit brings rest, refreshing, and revelation. When we are born again, the Spirit of God comes to live within us. We're going to read John 3:5. I have a lot of scriptures, and most of them are New King James, but if there are other scriptures, I'll try to tell you so you'll know what version I'm reading out of. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Well, when we're born of water is when we're born of our mother, but when we're born again is when we're born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. And Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." In the Strong's Concordance, the word for grace is charis, where our word charisma and charismatic comes from. And the primary definition of grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in life. And so when Jesus comes into our heart and into our life, he affects us. He comes in, he dwells there, and it reflects in our life. And there's a lot of meanings of, I mean, there's a lot of definitions of grace, but it has to do with the Holy Spirit coming. And then he's there. He comes to dwell in us, and he's there. And we can draw on him and fellowship with him. And as we fellowship, our life, you know, it reflects in all of our life. Hallelujah. As we surrender and yield to Jesus, we receive his influence in our lives. The Holy Spirit's character or job description is comforter, teacher, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. And we're going to read that in John 14, 16 through 17, and this is the Amplified. And he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, lawyer, a voice, one who speaks in my behalf." I mean, we all need someone that will speak in our behalf sometimes, don't we? Amen. Strengthener and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take into its heart, because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. For he lives with you constantly and shall be in you. And then we're going on to read the Holy Spirit, how he prays the will of God in our behalf. In Romans 8, 26 through 27, this is New Living Translation. And it says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father knows all, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." Hallelujah. Praise God we have that help. You know, and when we are praying ourselves, when we go to the Lord in prayer, sometimes we don't know what to pray for, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit, because he knows exactly what to pray for. And he knows, a prayer that's in the will of God is like an arrow going forth that hits the mark. It does what it was sent out to do. Amen. We're going to read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law." Fruit is a natural result of being connected to the vine, or being connected to a tree that bears fruit. you have to be connected to bear fruit. And Jesus said in John 15, 4 through 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Hallelujah. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So we are born into the kingdom. We are born into the kingdom of God. But in our new life, we are dependent on being connected to Jesus continually and connected to the vine. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:16 tells us, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we need to have that indwelling Spirit and be following His Spirit that dwells within us continually. The key to living in the Spirit is keeping our attention on the Lord. Keep our attention on Him. Don't let what the devil's doing get bigger in your awareness than your awareness of God's presence with you. You know, I mean, the devil does all kinds of junk and mess and everything, but let it be out there and don't put all your attention there. Keep your attention on the Lord and you will, you know, what he's doing is not going to affect you. Amen. Don't live as a reaction to darkness. Rather live as a response to light. Wherever you have your eyes set, that's the direction you're going to go. If you have your eyes on Jesus and on the light, you're going to move toward that light. But if you get your direction over on what the enemy's doing, you're going to gravitate that way. I mean, we've all done it in driving. Something catches our attention out there, and we turn to look, and all of a sudden, you know, we're going the way we're looking. And so we gravitate and move toward where our sights are, where we set our sight. Romans 8, 7 through 8 in the Message, and I just love this. It says, focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he's doing, and God isn't pleased with being ignored. Amen. Sometimes the Message just puts things so funny. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And the word sons there means mature sons of God or grown up. And so we all go through periods of growth, you know, where we, you know, aren't led by the Spirit. We battle with our flesh or whatever. But we are sons of God and our attention is on Him and we need to be led by Him. We have been talking so far about the character of the Holy Spirit. And next, we're going to be studying about the power of the Holy Spirit. Operating in the power and gifts of the Spirit, the power of God and gifts of the Spirit, need to always have their foundation based on the character of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when we are moving in faith or healing or miracles or whatever, the foundation of it needs to be love and all the other fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. They really only work good together. The Holy Spirit is within us for our benefit, but He comes upon us for the benefit of others. Hallelujah. He wants to meet our needs, and He's in there to be all that we need. But He wants to come upon us in His power so that we can affect other lives around us. Amen. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's not what we can do in our own flesh or our own self. It's what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do through us. Amen. Luke 4:18, this is New Living. and this is Jesus speaking, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord was in him, but he said, he is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed be set free. So the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus for the benefit of all of the world out there that needed God's power. And in Isaiah 61, we're going to read verse 1 and then go down to verse 3. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And this was a prophecy about Jesus, but the same Spirit of the Lord that came upon Jesus is the same Spirit of the Lord that comes upon us. So it can be personal because there's not two spirits, it's just one spirit. And it's the same spirit that came on Jesus. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who were bound. And down to verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Sometimes people are just all burned out. Have you ever said, I'm just burned out? You know, we're ashes. And God wants to trade our ashes for his beauty. Hallelujah. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So when people are broken and God fixes them, who's glorified? God is glorified. Amen? And that's just good news. Hallelujah. And then we're going to Acts 1:8. And it says, but you, speaking of the church, shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come up on you. You know, he's already within us. But when he comes upon us, we shall receive power. And you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So we need the indwelling presence of the Spirit, and we need the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us so that we can be a blessing and help other people in need of the presence of the Lord to set them free. We're going to read the account in Acts where the Spirit of the Lord was first poured upon the church. We're going to read Acts 2, we'll do 1 through 4, and then we'll drop down to 14. And it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Hallelujah. We want to hear a sound from heaven. Amen. Of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, they began to speak in other languages that they did not know. And at this same time, there was a festival in Jerusalem where there was people there from all different countries, from many different nations. And the people heard them speaking. It says they heard them speaking in their own tongue, giving glory and praise to God. So the people that were speaking didn't know what they were saying, but the other people all around them heard them speak in their own language, and they were glorifying God. Hallelujah. And sometimes when we speak, in a lot of times when we're speaking and praying in tongues, we're just glorifying and praising God. And sometimes we're praying out the will of God, specific things. because we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but he knows what needs to be prayed for. Amen? And then down onto verse 14, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's only the third hour of the day.'" But they weren't drunk at all, but some of the people thought, saying, they must be drunk, the way they're acting. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes on people, you know, sometimes outsiders looking on can say, "Ooh, what's going on with that bunch?" Okay, 16, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. 'And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants will I pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy.'" We're still in those days. Hallelujah, where our sons and our daughters will prophesy and we'll see visions and dreams from God. Hallelujah. Verse 19, "I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." And then down to 21, it says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the church, came upon the believers, what happened? Thousands of people were brought into the kingdom of God. And any time there's a great move of the Spirit, one of the main things that happens, people is brought in to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You know, in masses, in big numbers. Because when God comes in like that, comes up on and comes down, hallelujah, and there's a sound of heaven, hallelujah, everybody knows about it. It comes aware of it, and it's beautiful. It's awesome, and it just brings people and draws people to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to look a little bit at the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant." God wants us studying the gifts. He wants us to know what they are, and so that's why we're studying them today. And then in 1 Corinthians 12:31, he went on to say, "Earnestly desire the best gifts." But as far as I can find out, he never said what the best gifts were. But to me, the best gifts are whatever I need at the time or whatever someone else needs at the time. They're all wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we're going to read 1 Corinthians 14:26. And it says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, hath a tongue, a revelation, has an interpretation, but let all be done to edifying." The gifts of the Spirit are meant to edify. They're to build up. You know, and I have seen in the past people use prophecy and things to beat people up, and that's just not in agreement with God's word. The gifts of the Spirit are used to edify, to build up, to encourage, to bless. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read through the gifts, 7 through 10. It said, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues." And we're going to go over just a little bit, going to skim through the gifts. We're going to talk first about the revelation gifts. There's the word of wisdom. And that is where you supernaturally have God's wisdom, either spiritual or natural. You know, sometimes we need natural wisdom in this world, and God can supernaturally show us what we need to know and give us wisdom on how to handle a situation. We need God's divine help sometimes in knowing what to do, and that comes from the word of wisdom. And it can even be natural things. I've known inventors that God, they were stuck, they couldn't figure something out, and God gave them a dream, or he spoke to them in some way that they were able to break through and do what they needed to do. That happened to Bill Linenweaver one time when he was helping to create the flight simulator. And they had got stuck on something, and they had spent weeks on something. And one night God gave it to him in a dream, and the next day he just had it. It was a word of wisdom in the natural world. And we live in the natural world, and God wants to give us what we need to know. A word of knowledge is a fragment of the knowledge of God concerning facts or events supernaturally revealed that the individual has no way of knowing. You know, how in the world did they know that? Elisha one time kept having a dream that the king of Syria was going to attack. So they put their army out there. And the king of Syria thought that they had a spy. Who's telling them what I discuss in my bedchamber? But God was telling him, and they were ready, and he wasn't able to do what he wanted to do. Amen. So we need words of knowledge sometimes. Sometimes we don't even know we need to know something, but the Spirit of the Lord will bring something to our attention that we will be able to ward off something bad that would come our way. Discerning of spirits is enabling a spiritual, supernatural enablement, permitting identification of the nature and character of spirits, seen and unseen. And the first thing is the Spirit of God. You know, we need to be aware when the presence of God is near. And that comes for discerning of spirits. And angels, when angels are about us, you know, I think angels are always about us. But sometimes we see them, and sometimes we know they're there. And it's a blessing when we discern these things. We need to know demon and satanic spirits. When the devil has something planned, we need to be able to bind him and send him on his way. And also human spirits. And there's several scriptural references where somebody knew someone's heart just by discernment. And sometimes we need to be able to discern human spirits. You know, do they have an ulterior motive? Is it someone God sent? Is it someone the enemy has sent? And so those are part of the discerning of spirits. Then there's the utterance gifts. Tongues is where you speak in another language by the power of God, and it can be another earthly language, or it can be a language of the angels. In 1 Corinthians, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And so tongues can be, it's from God, and so it can be a natural language or a spiritual language. One time, Mark Bowling in India was doing a crusade, and he was praying for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and their prayer language. And this Indian man that did not know one word of English began to say over and over, there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. And he was speaking in tongues, but he was speaking in English, and that blessed Mark to hear it. We had a lady once in Mexico, in Moctezuma from Tucson, and she did not know a word of English. Spanish. I mean, she knew hola and adios and just a few words. She really didn't know any Spanish. And we were in the pastor's house, and we were in a big circle praying, and Betty was standing right next to the pastor, and she was just praying in tongues. And she did a long time just praying in tongues, but she was speaking perfect Spanish. And later, when we left the house to go to the church, Belen came to me and said, "You need to have Betty do the translating tonight. She has beautiful Spanish." I says, "But she doesn't know a word of Spanish." Well, she was speaking perfect Spanish. You know, so those are just sweet, sweet things. Interpretation of tongues is when you pray out in English what was being said in tongues. In other words, someone speaking in tongues, and you know by the Spirit what they're speaking. And this happens to me quite a bit in my own private prayer life. I'll just be praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, and then it'll just begin to come up in English. And a lot of times I'm just worshiping the Lord, but sometimes there's something I needed to know what I was praying about. Then prophecy is when you speak God's word through your mouth, and tongues enables us to speak to God supernaturally, but prophecy permits God to speak to us supernaturally or to someone else. We give voice. Prophecy is giving voice to what God is saying. Amen. Then we're going to talk about the power gifts. The gift of faith is a supernatural endowment of faith to believe in receiving miracles of healing, provision, protection, deliverance, preservation. Faith is also seen from our spirit. We tend to see everything through our natural understanding, our natural eyes, but faith is really seen through God's eyes. And I'll run out of time if I tell all the testimonies I know, but we have seen miraculous things happen over and over again that was faith at work. May the impossible come to being. And then there's the gift of healing, where the supernatural power of God is brought to bear on an illness, causing an immediate cure or a gradual healing. But God came in and he changed it and he turned it. And I know all of us probably have healing testimonies where God healed us. Lord, I don't... my mom, when I was a little girl, my grandparents owned a ranch, and they went to help my granddad because a windmill had quit working and pumping water. So my mom and dad went to help repair the windmill. So they took pipes, they lifted the pipes up out of the well and secured them with chains, and my dad was up on top of the windmill pulling up the pipes and securing them. And my mom, when they got the bottom of the bottom piece up of the well, mom was replacing the new leathers that caused it to create the vacuum and pump the water. And my mom was down there doing that part. And a chain broke that was holding the pipe. And mom had her hand like this, and a 40-foot length of pipe fell on her hand, and it crushed it. And they went to the hospital, and he said, "Every bone in your hand is broken, and it needs to be amputated." And she said, "No, I don't want it amputated." And he says, "Well, for it to even resemble a hand, we're going to have to put wires in." And anyway, my parents, right soon after that, went to an Oral Roberts meeting in Billings, Montana. I was a little girl, I remember it well. And my mom got in the healing line, and her hand was instantly healed. And we went back to the hotel that night. She took a pair of scissors and cut through a telephone book. She had that much strength in her hand, and it was immediate healing of her hand. We went back, and I was with her when she went back to the doctor, when we went back home, and he told her to put her hand under the fluoroscope, and she did, and he was aggravated, and she said, "I don't have time to play games. Put your broken hand under there." And she said, "This is my broken hand," and God healed it. And so anyway, we could tell hours of story about God healing. And then there's the working of miracles, and it's an endowment of power to act as an instrument in bringing about a specific divine intervention. Dunamis in the Greek is power. It's where our word dynamite comes from. And miracles are an intense explosion of God's power. And it can be miracles of healing, provision, protection, signs and wonders. God wants us to use us as a vessel to flow through. It needs to be a willing, clean vessel. We need to be able to hear and be used by God's Spirit. We're going to read Romans 12:1 in the New Living Translation. And it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because he has done all he has done for you. Let them be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." So when we yield to God, yield our life to him, that's the best way that we can worship God. Our lives become an act of worship to God when we're yielded to him. We need to ask God to search and cleanse our hearts. Psalms 139, 23, and 24 in the New Living says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." And when you come before the Lord, it's important to quiet your thoughts. Still your thoughts, because God speaks to us through our spirit, not through our mind, or our flesh, or emotions, or intellect. God speaks to us by his Spirit, so we need to quiet ourselves to listen to him. 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Hallelujah. So, you know, our mind hinders us a lot of times, and especially when it's time to get before the Lord, it's just like, quiet your mind. Just listen to God from your spirit. True guidance comes from being close to the guide. Moses said that, the Lord spoke to Moses, and it was like they were talking friend to friend. They were friends. And God wants to be our friend. You know, the best way to be guided is to be close and in fellowship with the guide. It's important to walk in love. Ephesians 3:19 says, "To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So falling in love with God, falling in love with him, being in love with him, it changes our whole being. It changes everything about us. The gifts of the Spirit are meant to edify and be used in love. And love should always be the motivation of all we do. There's two, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 are all about the gifts of the Spirit. But what's sandwiched right in between them? 1 Corinthians 13. The book on love, and this chapter on love. And so love needs to be the glue that holds everything together when you're talking about the spirit world. Hallelujah. We need to yield to God, allow him to speak however he wants to speak. Sometimes he always speaks to us through his word. Sometimes he speaks to us through prophecy, through that still small voice within us. He can speak to us through dreams, through visions. Hallelujah. So just always be open to take in however God would speak to you. Practice hearing God's voice, and it becomes easier. Remember Samuel, the first time he heard God's voice, he didn't know who. He thought it was Eli calling him. And he went to Eli. Three different times he went to Eli. And Eli said, next time, say, God, what do you want? And so sometimes it's a process of learning how to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. Jesus told us in John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow living water. The living water doesn't come from our minds, from our personality. It comes from the indwelling presence of the Lord within us. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk a little bit here and share testimony with you, but when there is a big move of God's Spirit, it's something that we call revival. And revival isn't just a week of special meetings with a special speaker, even when there's manifestations and power of the Spirit. A revival is a spontaneous spiritual awakening by the Holy Spirit among his people. It comes in answer to their humble prayers as they seek his face and repent of their sins. The awakening, when there's a revival or an awakening, it results in deepened intimacy with God, passion for him, holy living, evangelism, social reform, and transformation. I've done a lot of studies on revivals through the history that have come, and they have a revival. It's just like a blanket of the presence of the Lord comes across a region, and people just come to the Lord. They feel his presence. They want him. One revival in Wales I was reading about, they were in the church all night, such a moving, strong moving power of God. But at 3 a.m, a busload of 50 people came that had been in a tavern several towns over, and they had been in a party in a tavern. They got on the bus and said, we're going to that revival meeting. They all came. They all were born again. In that area, there were people falling on their knees in their homes, receiving the Lord. It was just a blanket. And it's just multitudes of people came into the kingdom of God. It's a revival has a vast effect on the entire community. It changes things. Hallelujah. I'm going to read a scripture in Romans 8:19 through 21, and this is the Passion Translation. It says, the entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery, to decay, and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. I believe that even our natural earth is affected by our sin. Um, I believe when, you know, the earth suffers, everything suffers when darkness covers an area. But when there's light, when God's light is shining, everything begins to come to life. I think all of the upheavals we're seeing in the world right now mirror the upheavals that's in people's heart. And the unrest and the sin that's in people's heart. I just got this testimony this week, and I just have to read you it to you. It thrilled me. It's about a revival that's currently going on in the island of Fiji. In the year 2000, the nation of Fiji began to experience an astonishing spiritual revival. It happened at the height of significant social upheaval when the churches united and interceded for God's intervention. Since then, this mighty revival has transformed not only individuals, but entire villages. The Fiji people have been witnessing signs and wonders. Even to this day, God is literally healing their land. Reports from around the nation in the transformed villages are astonishing. Entire villages experience salvation. That's what I'm hanging on to for Douglas. Dramatic healings were common. Previously dead coral reefs came to life in 24 hours. Now that's a miracle. Man can't do that. Wild yams grew everywhere. Polluted water became clean. And there was an abundance of fish that had disappeared over 50 years ago. All of a sudden, they were all back. Moreover, the police led evangelistic crusades, and a unified praying church had replaced a competitive, bitter division among believers. I read that and it just thrilled me. It just thrilled me to the core, because when God's power, His light comes in, the earth responds. You know, and here in many places, many villages, the whole village came to the Lord. Everyone came to the Lord. Hallelujah. The fish that had been gone for over 50 years came back in abundance. Hallelujah. You know, I have had a vision in my heart for revival in Douglas for over 20 years. And I have cried and I've prayed and I've spoken of it till it's almost embarrassing. But I believe God wants to pour that kind of revival out in our community, where it affects everybody. Amen. Where it affects everybody. Where people are born again all over the place. Hallelujah. Where drug dealers have experience with God and immediately are turned around. Where people addicted to drugs are immediately set free and free and born again. There's power in the Lord for that. Where the churches are no longer in competition, but they help one another and bless one another. When there's a great harvest of souls, there's not going to be enough room in all the churches put together anyway. Hallelujah. This isn't about one church. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. And you know, our town, I believe we've had some curses in our town because of the years of marketing and dealing in drugs and people and, you know, just things that were not right before God. And hallelujah, it's going to be broken off of our community. And we're going to see a great outpouring of God's Spirit that's going to touch every person here. And you know, I don't know right now, but 3 or 4 years ago, I heard that Douglas was one of the lowest economic towns per capita in Arizona. That's a curse that comes from sin. But God's going to turn it around, and he's going to bring prosperity to our town. I know their seas came back to life. That was their livelihood. And we're going to see, I believe there's treasures hidden in our county, in this area, right here in Douglas. I think there's minerals to find and things that are going to be a blessing to our community, that are going to turn our community around, and it's going to become prosperous and blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and let's just, Lord, we ask for an outpouring of your Spirit upon us. Lord, we know your presence is within us. We know your indwelling presence is here within us. But Lord, we ask for an outpouring of heaven upon us. Oh, that there will be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon us, that signs and wonders and healings will begin to flow. Oh, that you will be glorified, that people in bondage will be set free. Father, I ask you, fall on me. Fall on me, Lord. Fall on me. Holy Spirit, fall on me. Fill me with your glory. Fill me with your life. Fill this community, Lord, with your presence, with your glory. Father, we cry unto you and we call unto you, for you are great and a mighty God. Oh, halamoshiliande. Hiokoaya shea, hi, Lord. Start a fire within my heart. Start a fire of your love and your Spirit in every heart that's in this place, every person. Father, fall upon us. Fall upon us, that there be a mighty ingathering of souls and people set free and blessings flowing, blessings of the Lord flowing in every area of our society, Lord. We want to see people come to the Lord. We want this to be a righteous community. Righteous, righteous, righteous. Father, we've been known as Cocaine Alley and where the first tunnels were. But Lord, we want to be known for the Spirit of the Lord. We want to be known for revival. We want to be known for people coming into the kingdom of God. We want to be known that this is a place where healing is flowing. God's healing power is flowing, and people come here from all over the country just to get their healing, Lord. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Lord. We give you glory and honor and praise. Come, come, Holy Spirit, fall upon us. Set our hearts afire. Set us fire with your power, with your purpose. Lord, we pray that your will be done in Douglas, Arizona, as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done, Father. We yield ourselves as willing vessels, yielded to you and surrendered to you, Father. Lord, hallelujah, we thank you for your presence within. But we thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will fall on us in a way that everywhere we go, the sick will be healed, the captive will be set free, that the hurting will be healed, the drug addicts will be healed, the hopeless will be healed. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, stir a hunger in our hearts. Stir a great hunger within our hearts, mighty God. Oh, for you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. If anybody has a cry in your heart that you just are saying, God, use me, use me, use me. If you have that cry in the heart, I would like you to come up. And we're just going to, oh, call out to God. Hallelujah. His anointing's here today. His anointing, His presence is in this place this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy One. We thank you, Father. Oh, Ramay.